Good morning, and once again, we want to say thank you to all of you joining us here at RVEST to hear the Friday Financial Forum through our virtual program. We really do appreciate you tuning in. At this time, to start our program, we have a very special guest, no stranger to the Friday Forum. Gary Warren's going to come forward and give us our pledge today. Gary?
Good morning. Boy, it's lonesome here without everybody in here. But I want to remind you, just before we do the pledge, that this flag was born in 1777. It's old glory and long may she wave. So be with me as we do the Pledge of Allegiance today. Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty for all. Long may she wave.
Thank you, Gary. Before I introduce our next speaker, which is the RVEST moment, I want to very quickly say happy birthday to all the December birthday people. As you well know, if we were in this room, we'd have a birthday cake. And trust me, when we come back, we're going to have a lot of birthday cakes to represent those that we missed. But anyway, happy birthday to all of you in December. All right, this time for an RVEST update, David Nickel.
Earl, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it. I know everybody comes up here and makes short jokes for you, but I can tell you when Earl was my vice principal at Central, he was 6'5" if he was upset with you. So with that, I just want to take this opportunity to thank all our customers at RVEST in these trying times and the patience that you've shown as we have to make adjustments on a daily basis, and just wanted you to know that your health and our associates' health is always at the top of our mind with every decision that we make. And one last thing, I was on the mortgage department, if rates are at historical lows, if you have not gone to Jill Karst or Julia May to have them check on your mortgage on a possible refinance, you need to do that. It's well worth your time. And with that, I'm going to give it back to Earl.
David, thank you very much, my friend. Thank you. Okay, our speaker today, I'm very pleased and excited to have him as our guest. It's a legislative update, and it's Representative Judge Strom. Just a fine young man. I think he's, not only do I know his entire family, and I've known him and worked cattle with him, but I am just so proud of him and the job that he's doing representing us in District 10. I was, you well know, the representative of District 11. I was proud to serve and do that for the people of District 11. I have since moved to District 10, so I am honored and delighted to introduce my state representative, Judge Strom.
Thank you, Mr. Sears. And I am, now that you are on Silver Lake, I am your representative now.
That is correct.
And I get more calls from Mr. Sears, problems with his government, than any other constituent. Trust me. Well, it's great to be here with everybody or with this room full of people. Of course, it's great that you can join us. I really miss the Friday Forum. I still wake up on Friday morning and jump out of bed, and I want to get ready and come into town and be a part of this, and it's just, I miss it. You know, I miss getting to see everybody, and I can't wait till we can all get back together. On that note, I think one thing that's very important, one thing that your government, your state government, has been taking very seriously and we've been working on and following is the coronavirus and what it's doing in the state. The latest update we had 199,482 cases of coronavirus, positive coronavirus cases in the state of Oklahoma. Now, while that number has grown, testing has increased exponentially. Everyone's trying to test before they go back to work. We have only had, I'd say only, it's terrible, but we've had 1,758 deaths, which is the number of people that are having to be hospitalized or having bad symptoms or dying of the coronavirus is going down every day. We're getting better at treating it. Our doctors are getting better. Our hospitals are getting better. And I think that's good news. And another thing, a bit of good news we have is a vaccine. We're at a place now where as soon as December 10th, Pfizer has announced that there'll be over 30,000 doses of their vaccine in the state of Oklahoma. And so what we'll do and what we've looked at the state is we're going to try to get that out to frontline medical workers first. That's the hospitals, your nurses, your doctors, your nursing home attendants. And then as soon as December 22nd, Moderna says that they'll have another 10,000 doses in the state that we'll be able to get out. And very soon after, we don't know a date yet, but very soon after, we will have vaccines in CVS and Walgreens across the state that people will be able to get if they want it. So that's great news as we look to trying to get back to a normal life. There's no doubt at the state that shutdowns had a detrimental effect on our economy. But in the latest updates, we see that that's not near as bad as we had projected in March or April or May is what we thought was going to happen. In fact, I got numbers yesterday. Now, we'll wait till the December right before Christmas, before the Board of Equalization meets, to know exactly what we have to work with in the state. But from October to October, we only saw about a 1% decrease from this year, from the year before. And so we're getting closer to numbers that I think that we can work with, because the most important thing that we do at the Capitol is budget and use your money, to your tax money and dollars, to run the state, to provide the services that you expect. And so that's been very important. The most important thing that we've been watching is where the economy is in the state of Oklahoma. One thing that we discussed earlier, I discussed with Representative Sears, is that in the event that we do come up short, we do still have $171 million in the stabilization fund. As well, we have $58.7 million in the rainy day fund. So those are funds that we might have to tap as we move on and work on the budget on the state. Now, what have we been doing? You know, we're only in session from the first Monday in February until the last Friday in May. But throughout the year, I tell people I work 365 days a year. With the economic downturn and the jobs that were lost, we've spent a lot of time, all of the representatives have spent a lot of time trying to help people get benefits, trying to help people with their unemployment, with paycheck protection loans, anything that we can do. I've set up, I call it my command center on my kitchen table, because that's pretty much where I do all my work from. I've kind of spread out there. And every day when I get up, I go make coffee and I sit right down there and I go to work. And we've been in constant communication with each other, the other legislatures, the agency heads, the people that work for the agencies, still just trying to work every day to keep the state functioning. And I think that they've done a great job down there. Let's see. One thing that I want to discuss while we're here a little bit is things that have been happening while we've been out of session. And you know, I ran on and I still believe that industry, the creation and protection of industry in the state of Oklahoma, is one of the most important things that we can work on. I want for you to have a good job to retire from. I want for your kids to have a good job that they can come home to and work right here in the state of Oklahoma. And I want for your grandkids to never have to leave the state of Oklahoma or have any reason to go anywhere else to find a good job and a great life. I want them to stay right here. So there are several things that I think are pretty exciting that have gone on at government. You know, while we shape what can be done at the state through the agencies in statute, the agencies do the lion's share of the work. They're at work all year long, and they do. And one thing that I found was exciting was what was going on in our Department of Commerce. Last year, Governor Stitt went to Brent Kisling, who is the executive director of our Department of Commerce. And he said, I want you to find five states where we have a competitive advantage of, and I want to go to those states and I want to bring those businesses here, a competitive advantage for business, and I want to bring those here. They were California, New York, Illinois, Washington, and Colorado. And so we started with California, and what they did was they went out and put billboards. They went right to the people that run those businesses, and they showed them why Oklahoma is a better place to be. Our utilities are lower, our land prices are lower, we have a great, able, and workforce, an available workforce. And so they even started a website, California or CA2OK.com, that has a lot of information there. And already this year they brought seven companies from California have moved to Oklahoma because of the business climate that we have here. Now that doesn't seem like a lot, but when you start doing the numbers and you put together and they're moving manufacturing, they're moving operations, or they're moving just supply chain businesses here, that could be over 1,000 jobs with just those seven companies. Those are good paying jobs coming right here to Oklahoma. So that, I think, is very exciting. Let's see, another achievement of the Department of Commerce is a commerce supply chain portal that'll start in the first quarter of 2021. And what that does, that'll allow Oklahoma manufacturers to shorten their supply chains, to keep them here in Oklahoma, and to connect suppliers and manufacturers and distributors all right here in Oklahoma. One reason I think this is important is, you know, Detroit and Michigan didn't boom because they were selling cars. They boomed because they were manufacturing windshields, doors, knobs, belts, motors, seats, all of the things that went into that. how many people live their whole life working at a spark plug company or something similar, you know, and we're able to do that because it was all done right there where they sold those cars or manufacturing. That's what we want to do right here in Oklahoma, and that's why we're working for manufacturers, for the airlines, for the aeronautics, to bring manufacturers here to the state of Oklahoma and keep that supply chain complete here. Another thing we've done is we've gone to work on OK Job Match. As we bring these companies here, we want to match people with the jobs that they're suited for, that they're interested, things they like doing, things that they've gone to school for, match their education with the employers that are looking for those things. And I can tell you how fluid this thing is. I mean, with coronavirus, the way we're all working right now, one day I was working on OklahomaJobMatch.com, looking through there and trying to figure out how it all worked and kind of doing some research, and I noticed that there wasn't a place for jobs in film. So I text Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell. I said, Matt, there's no jobs in film on OklahomaJobMatch.com. And 5 minutes later, he sent me back a text, done. And so we were able to get that taken care of right there. And film's another thing that I caught a lot of flack for voting on a film tax credit. But already in the next 2 years, just the film industry that's going to go to work in this region alone is expected or projected to bring in over $20 million to this region. And there again, it's not like they're building the cars. We're not just talking about movie stars. We're talking about construction, electricians, makeup, seamstresses. All of the things that go into that are jobs that we want people to have right here. It's great for the economy. It's hotel rooms. It's restaurants. It's all the things that go into that filmmaking and those people that come here. So we're excited about that too. Something that we're looking at. And there's another thing there. The film industry in Georgia is worth $9 billion. That's $1 billion more than the appropriated budget of the state of Oklahoma. So that's something that we would be very interested in attracting to right here. But I'll get off of that. As far as legislators, we have 14 new members in the House, and so we've been working with them, trying to get to know them and find a best fit for them on committees and where they can help and learn their strengths. Been trying to get acquainted with them. We're working with agencies, committees, constituents, and county and municipal governments to find out what they need in the way of new or corrective legislation, or what statutes they might need changed or put in place. Anything we can do to help with their growth or their success. December 11th is the deadline for us to have bill language reserved or a bill space reserved. January 21st is the deadline for us to have our bills in. And so we're working, each of us are working together to try to get that lined out. In February, we go back to Oklahoma City and we get back to business, making this the greatest state in the United States of America. So if you have any questions, any comments, or any ideas, don't hesitate to contact me at judd.strom@okhouse.gov before we get back to work. And until we meet again, I suppose be good, be well, and do good things. Thank you.
Representative, before you run off, I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I want the audience to know that Senator Daniels will be on our program in January, our second program in January. Because, as you've stated, first Monday in February, you all will be in session. So I wanted our Friday Forum listeners and our community to know that our state legislature is alive and well and the journey you're getting ready to go on. Okay, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you being here. You don't have the answer to this, but it's just, I know you all are worried about it and thinking about it. Healthcare is a huge issue. There's no question we need to constantly do things to make sure we're improving healthcare. But this Medicaid expansion, that's going to cost us a lot of money, and that's just money we don't have in the state of Oklahoma. You don't have the answer today, but can you just talk a little bit about that Medicaid expansion?
I was sad to see in the last election that 814 didn't pass the vote of the people. One reason was that was about $50 million that we were going to be able to use to pay for the Medicaid expansion out of TCEP money. It was a percentage of that, which, as you know, smokers are a great deal of our cost of Medicaid and medicine in the state of Oklahoma. And so that was where that would come from, would be the taxes on cigarette and tobacco tax. But that is something we're going to have to look at. We've heard that it might be as low as $120 million, which I know we start talking millions of dollars. That's not a low number. But we expect it to be more in the $200 million or more range to get Medicaid set up. And ultimately, we are going to have to wait until that December 21st, December 20th, when the Board of Equalization meets to see exactly what we have in the state to spend before we start looking at what we're going to have to do to pay for that, because we are a balanced budget state. So to pay for that, we have two choices. We can cut or we can raise taxes. And we do not want to raise taxes, and we do not like to cut our agencies. And so we will have to wait and see what those numbers are in December.
As I said, the challenge is before you. Representative, thank you very much. Great update.
Well, thank you for having me. I look forward to seeing everyone again as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Strong. Okay, let's go to my dad joke. I tell you, this is a good joke. Really is. I really do like this one. Why were the elephants kicked off the beach? Because they kept throwing their trunks in the water. I think that's kind of cute. Hey, as we wrap up, again, thank you for tuning in to our Friday Forum through virtual program. And I hope each and every one of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. There's no question we had to modify it this year. And I know in my own family, we always have like 20 members of our family. We only had four.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.